All right, if you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, I would invite your attention over to the book of 1 Colossians, and we're going to be looking in chapter 1 today. I am continuing to encourage you in your reading of the Bible throughout the end of this year, or perhaps, perchance, maybe you were one of those people that began reading here in the last couple of weeks, and I hope you did, that way when we start the new year, you don't have to make a new year's resolution to break. You've already started it now, so you've already resolved to do it next year, and it'll stick with you a little bit longer that way, and hopefully throughout the year, right? But this week in our readings, it took us through the book of Ephesians, it took us partly through the book of Acts, and it took us through the book of Colossians as well. Now, since I spent the better part of this year looking into the book of Ephesians, I decided it was probably not the route to go. And on Wednesday nights, we're looking at Acts, and although it'll take us a long time to get to the portion we read today, I decided to go ahead and stay away from Acts as well. So that leaves us here in Colossians, which is good, because as I began to contemplate and think about the book of Colossians, it's actually a book that we don't turn to very often. There's a lot of things in the book of Colossians that are found for us in the book of Ephesians. They were written about the same time period. Paul was in jail. He was sending the letters at the same time. So it's almost as if the same outline is there. But there is some things in Colossians that's not found for us in the book of Ephesians. So it is good for us, indeed, to sometimes look at this book. Now, what I'm going to do today is we're going to start with verse number 1, and we're just going to kind of look at some of the background a little bit to get us started. But we're really going to begin the message when we get to verse number 9. So, if you would, let's begin in verse number 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which were at Colossus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you that are in our morning service together, a couple things I wanted you to note here. First of all, we see that this is a very typical style greeting that Paul has as he opens up his letters. But I want you to see who is faithfully by his side. It's Timotheus or Timothy. He was there while Paul was being imprisoned there in that house arrest type of situation that he had going on in Rome at that time. Now, secondly, again, we see in this greeting that Paul uses that phrase of grace and peace. And we talked about that this morning. That's how he greets the churches, right? Grace and peace be unto you. Now, let's move on. Verses 3 and 4 says, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Now, I want you to notice in verse 4 that the first phrase there, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, we often get this feeling as we're going through the book of Acts sometimes that every church was somehow founded by Paul and his co-laborers as they went through. But that is, again, the book of Acts gives us a very focused view of what was going on in Christianity at the time period. As a matter of fact, the first part of the book pretty much gives us Peter. The last part of the book gives us pretty much Paul. But, you know, we shouldn't get the idea that only Paul and Peter were the ones doing any kind of work. There were others who were doing the work as well. And not only were they doing the work, but people who had heard the work from them also took the word of God and went out and planted churches as well. And here, as you look at at Colossus, this is a church that Paul did not found. This is a church, in fact, that Paul has never even visited. As we see later on in the Scripture, he says, you know, he speaks about not even seeing them face to face at this point in time. But while he was doing the work in Ephesus, a man by the name of Epaphras came, and he heard the gospel of his salvation. And likely he heard that through the preaching of Paul. But he became a faithful minister as well, and he took the word of God back to Colossus, where he lived, and he started a church there in his house as they began to meet there. And Paul stayed in touch with Epaphras during this process, and he is writing this letter to encourage the work that is going on there. Because there are some things, again, that they need encouraged in, some things they need correction in. And as he's heard, as Paul's heard those things from Epaphras, he is trying to correct those things. Now, let's read a little further. Beginning in verse 5 again, it says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." So, again, here we hear the good report of Epaphras, and he has given Paul, he's told him all about their faith, all about their hope and faith that they have. And again, verse number 7 shows us that he is the minister of the church. The church there is meeting in his home as well. Now, much like the book of Ephesians, we see that Paul, after his opening exhortation, goes into a prayer for the saints. Now, the prayer here is different than the prayer in Ephesians. This is the prayer he prayed for the church at Colossae. And, you know, this week as I began to read this prayer, I began to think to myself, you know, this is the kind of thing that a pastor prays for his church. This is the kind of thing that we desire for the church. And as we begin, what we're going to do today is just kind of work our way through this prayer, and we'll see the things that Paul prays here, and you'll understand why I'm preaching these things today, because it is my desire that you may prosper in the same ways that Paul desired the people of Colossae to prosper as well. Now look in verse number 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, doth not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." As we read through Paul's letters, it becomes obvious to you and to me that Paul was a man of prayer. He devoted much of his day, certainly, to prayer. Prayer not just over himself and his needs, but certainly prayer over the churches as well. And it's always amazing to me when we read some of these letters and we get to that final chapter and Paul begins to list out all kinds of people that were there at the church. Paul remembered these people. And he remembered them because he was remembering them in prayer. I mean, that's how we remember people's names, is we're always continually bringing them back to our mind. And that's what he was doing. He was praying for these people, praying and uplifting them. Now, look at what Paul prayed for them to have. First of all, they might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul wanted them to know the Word of God. And when I say know the Word of God, I'm not talking about just being able to quote the Word of God. You know, when you were little and you were growing up in Sunday school classroom, sometimes they did, you know, you remember this verse for next week and you could rattle off that verse, but you could rattle it off, but you really didn't have much understanding of that verse whatsoever. But Paul had a desire for them not just to read, not just to see the words on the page, but to actually know it. Now, folks, it is important to read your Bible. That's something I've been saying to you all year long. But, you know, you can read through the Bible and learn relatively little. Now, that's true. How do we do that? Because we read when we're thinking about other things. We read because we know we got to read and we're just kind of rushing through it, trying to get it done for the day. But what Paul desired for them to do is to gain spiritual understanding and to gain wisdom. You know, for those that are saved here today, God desires you to know this book. He desires you to know His Word and to understand His Word. He does not desire His Word to be a mystery to you. He desires His Word to be open to you. Now, the fact of it is you can come here from week to week and you can listen to Brother Greg faithfully teach, or you can listen to me preach from week to week, but that's once or twice a week at best. And the fact of it is you need more than that when it comes to the Word of God. You're out in the world all the time, and the world is at you all the time. And you need more of the Word of God than once or twice a week. And the fact of it is you have a way to get it. You have the accessibility to have it at your hands almost all the time, whether it be on your smartphones or your Bibles or your computers. It's easy for you to get. And you don't need me or Greg to sit down with you every time you open it up to teach it to you. Read the Word of God and pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Pray before you even start for wisdom and spiritual understanding. James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." God desires you to have wisdom. Did you know that? He desires His children to understand His Word. Now, I want you to understand, you're not going to pray for spiritual wisdom and then wake up some morning and just, you know, be spiritually wise. It does not work that way. You pray for wisdom and then you go to the Word. And it will come. You pray that the Lord's message might be revealed to you. Not some hidden message that no one else sees. You got a lot of people trying to do that. Not trying to find what you want it to say. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20 says this, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." You know, that's just the way it is. To gain wisdom, the person of God must go to the Word of God and look for God's message in the Word of God. Look for what He has to say. What it's really saying. Not what we want it to say, not some hidden thing. And the fact of it is people often do it. Preachers sometimes do it. They do. They're guilty of taking things out of context and reading things into the story that's not there. You know, trying to find some new thing to preach. One preacher famously tells the story of a man who got up and preached a sermon on a passage and came back to him and said, "Did you ever see that in that text before?" And his reply was, "No one's ever seen that in that text before." Why? Because it's not there. And sometimes those things happen. We all need to approach the Word of God seeking wisdom and examine the context over and over again. You know, I have a desire for this church to grow physically. That's one of my desires. It's always been my desire. You know, one of these days, Lord willing, I'd like to be full-time in the ministry. If this church would grow enough, I think this church would do far better off with a pastor who put 40-plus hours a week into the Word of God and in pastoring the flock than what I can do. But you know, before my prayer could be answered to that, my prayer for spiritual wisdom and understanding must also take place as well. Being grounded in the Word keeps a church steady and keeps a church sure. I want you to consider what would happen if we had four new families come into this church that were all of a Mormon background. And if you're not steady and sure in the Word, imagine the influence they can bring in, or any other group. You see, you have to have spiritual understanding. We must have those things. We must be built up in the Word. That's important. Furthermore, you need spiritual understanding and wisdom to judge the things that I preach. You know, I want to pass on as much knowledge to you as I can, things that I learn from week to week, and give it to you in the best way that I can. But you know what my desire has never been? For you to blindly follow whatever I say. I don't want that. I know nobody else wants that. Greg doesn't want that. It is truly for my desire that you be like the saints that were at Berea, who searched the Scripture to see if these things be so. Now, it really isn't my desire for you to sit in the pew and wait for me to say something you disagree with so you can roast me on the way home. You know, that happens too. I understand that. That's the most popular roast on Sundays. Not a beef or a pork, it's the preacher roast. Thanks, Randy. love you too. But you know what? If I'm preaching something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, you know what I want you to do? I want you to come to me. Come to me, and, you know, I might be your pastor, but at the end of the day, I'm a sheep who's trying to study the Word. And sometimes I may get messed up, and sometimes you might be messed up, but we'll get through it together. But that is my desire, is to be right in the Word. You know, when I started off as a young preacher, some 10 years ago, I thought I had all the right answers because I'd read all the right books. But the longer that I've been at this, the more I've realized that the right answers are not in all those books written by man, but they're written in the book that was written by God. And I hope that I've grown in spiritual understanding and wisdom. And I hope that you've grown with me over these years. Let's look in the next verse, verse number 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now I want you to notice the progression here of the prayer. He says that ye. You see, there is a connection to the last verse. You see, we cannot walk worthy of the Lord in all things unless we have first those things that were prayed for in verse number 9. Spiritual understanding and wisdom. If you don't have knowledge of what God's Word says, then how do you know what's right in the eyes of God for how you act and do things in this life? You might judge your way of walk based upon how your parents walked. So, you know, some people do that. They don't read the Bible. They just, you know, their parents taught them to walk in a moral life. Their parents were good, godly people. They think as long as they do what their parents did, you know, they're in good shape. Well, that's fine, as long as they did everything right. Actually, it's not fine. You need to be in the Word of God. But, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me things over the years that were wrong. Not from the Word of God, but somewhere along the line, you know, somebody put in their idea in their head that, you know, you look at a couple generations ago, nobody played cards. You know, you didn't play cards because why? Cards, that's evil. You know, people play poker for money with that. You can't play a game of Uno. I mean, that's crazy. That's not in the Word of God. Nothing like that. So people get these ideas, you know, wrong to go to a movie because you're, whatever it might be. Listen, Jesus Christ freed us from the law. And like I said this morning, man just wants to continually put us back under it. Put rules and bound laws upon us that's not there. But the Bible gives us a guideline of how we are to behave in this world. And we are to have a spiritual understanding first so that we might know how to live it out. Now, look what else that verse says again. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, it's not enough for us to have spiritual understanding and wisdom and to live a life where we don't apply that wisdom and knowledge. We have to apply that wisdom and knowledge. We are to bear fruit. We are to bear fruit as individuals. We are to bear fruit as a church. We touched on that a little bit this morning. You know, bearing fruit is a manifestation of who you are to the world. It allows your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to recognize that you are a brother and sister in Christ. It also allows the lost to know that there is something different about you. That your hope is in something different. That your comfort, that your rest is in something different. Paul's prayer for the saints at Colossae was to learn, that's what we read in verse number 9, and now apply. Apply. Produce good fruit so that they might grow in their relationship with the Lord and so that the church there might be strengthened as well. Think about how the church is strengthened through our actions, through us bearing fruit when we become wise to the Word. First, when we know the Word of God, we know that God has a place for all of us in His service. Second, God has told us that we all have talents and we need to carry on both outside and inside the church. When we're wise to the Word of God, we understand the need for love, forgiveness, and long-suffering. You see, when we're wise to the Word of God and we do these things inside and outside the church, what happens? We are strengthened as a whole. It brings unity to the church. And by the way, it is the lack of spiritual wisdom and understanding that divides the church. You know, my desire is for everyone here that they might have spiritual understanding. But not that you might have spiritual understanding that you be puffed up and think that you're better than everyone else and take pride in that, but rather that you have spiritual understanding in such a way that it motivates you to bear fruit and to bear more fruit as much as you can throughout your life to grow in your knowledge of Christ. That's that last phrase there, isn't it? Last phrase of verse number 10, to increase in their knowledge of God. You may have spiritual understanding. You may be wise to the Word of God, but don't be satisfied with what you know. Don't be satisfied with what you know. Strive to know more of Christ. Strive to know more. There is always more to learn. Strive to know more of the working of the Holy Spirit. Strive to know more of the working of the Father. We're almost at the end of another year. And at the beginning of the year, I exhorted you to read the Word of God. I'm exhorting you now. But you know what? At the end of this year, I hope that you know more about God than you knew at the beginning of this year. I hope you know more about His Word. And I hope that you're taking what you know and applying it to your lives to live a life that is pleasing before the Lord even more. You know what? Next year, if the Lord hasn't come back and our weeks begin to wind down and I'm still pleading with you to read the Word of God and come to church and listen to sermons and do all that stuff that I'm going to tell you all next year as well, I hope that you know even more. More, more, more. It's my prayer. Verse number 11. Strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul, just as he did in his letter to in Ephesians there, prays that they might be strengthened with all the might of God. You know, in this life, we are going to face some troubles, and we're going to face some hard times. Life is not a tiptoe through the tulips. People we love get sick. Every day it seems like somebody comes and tells me that somebody has cancer. Sometimes it seems like it's getting closer and closer to home all the time. I think of some of you all who have parents who are dealing with Alzheimer's-like conditions, and I know that life's a trial. It's not easy. People struggle with jobs, they struggle with finances, and no one knows for sure tomorrow whether they'll be working or not. Places lay off, factories close. Sometimes you have injuries that preclude you from working. The financial struggle for many is real. And we could go through all kinds of troubles and we could go through all kinds of trials. But the fact remains is, what do we do when we're faced with them? We keep on keeping on. Don't let disease take you from His Word. Don't let your lack of job or your job in general take away your faith from the Word of God. Keep on keeping on and be strengthened with the might of the Lord. And I want you to see in this verse where that might is coming from. You see, we're not strengthened in ourselves. We don't do it ourselves. Life is not in such a way for the Christian that we, you know, put on the boots and pull up our own bootstraps. Thank the Lord it's not about that. We are strengthened with all might according to what? What does the verse say? His glorious power. His glorious power. My friends, that's the good part. Our strength comes from the glorious power of the Lord. Now let me ask you this question. Who is mightier than the Lord? No one. What is mightier than the Lord? Nothing. What circumstance is bigger than the Lord? None. Be strengthened in knowing that God is with you. Be strengthened in knowing that God is for you. Be strengthened in knowing that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strengthened in knowing that the same God who sent His Son to die in your place, bearing your sins, knows what it's like to feel pain, to feel discouragement, to feel affliction from within and from without. Knows what it's like to have little and knows what it's like to have a lot. He knows what you stand in need of and He knows just how to strengthen you in battle. He is on your side and yes, as it's said so many times, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Folks, that is not a promise for the world. That is a promise for the saints of God when you are seeking to follow after Him and follow after His will in your life, that He is working things out. It is this strength that Paul drew from when he himself found himself beaten with rods 3 times, stoned 3 times, shipwrecked, in journeys often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Things that would make many of us want to run from serving the Lord. He'd gone through so much, you'd think to yourself sometimes that Paul might just say, forget it, guys, I've had enough. I've had enough. Let somebody else do it. Timothy, Luke, you're younger, you do it. I've been doing it too long. But Paul drew strength from the mighty power of the Lord. His glorious power, and he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. Then am I strong. Where did the strength come from? Not Paul. It came from God Almighty and His glorious power. Now, notice here in our verse what this strength will allow us to do. It will give us patience and long-suffering. That is, it will help us keep on keeping on until the end, whatever the end might be. And folks, I want you to understand, the end sometimes is not glorious from the world's perspective. It's just not. Paul getting his head chopped off by a Roman emperor was not a glorious end by a world perspective. For that matter, from a world perspective, Jesus Christ dying on a cross was not a glorious end. But God had victory on that cross. And God had victory in Paul's life. Paul boldly declared in his letter to Timothy there at the end that he was now ready to be offered up. He had fought the good fight and God was with him there to the very end. You know what? God was with him as the angels carried him into His very presence. And He's still with him today. You know, my prayer is that no matter your circumstances that may come upon you, that you might draw from the wisdom of the Word, that you might be strengthened to fight the good fight all the way to the end. Now there's more in this prayer here. Let's keep reading verses 12 and 13. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, with which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. This little phrase, which hath made us meet to be partakers, that makes even the best Bible readers scratch their head for a minute, what that means. The New King James says it this way, verse number 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You'll find very similar readings in the NASB and the ESV, all using that word qualified. But Paul tells us here in verse 12, he begins by giving thanks. Thanks to God. Prayer should include thanks, shouldn't it? He's praying, but he's also thanking God. And he's thanking God for something that he shared with those saints in Colossae, even though many of them he had never met before. They shared something very important. And what was that? Jesus Christ. They shared Christ. They shared the atoning death that made them fit to be called saints. You know, by nature, the only thing that we were qualified for was wrath. That is the only thing we are qualified by nature. We are qualified for nothing but death. And that is the darkness that is mentioned in verse 13. That is the state that we were in. But God saw fit to choose us, to provide a way in redemption, and in due time save us that we might be free from the wrath that is to come, so that we might be called His children. And our place in heaven is sure as sure can be. God will not change His mind. His plan will not alter. His way will not falter. God has had it planned from the beginning of time, and He will bring it into fruition. And again, all of that as all of Him, not of us. The only part that we did was the sin in part to bring us into further condemnation. So Paul here gives thanks for this, and no doubt he marveled that God had provided this for the Jew and the Gentile alike, as we see in the book of Ephesians, and that was on his mind. We're all equal in the eyes of God in our inheritance to come. Now our last verse, verse number 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I know in the things that have been mentioned here today that the cross has been spoken of. But I don't want to neglect the speaking of what this verse is saying. Our redemption is from one source and one source alone. And it is from the blood of Christ. There are a lot of faiths out there today that talk about Christ, but they don't mention the blood at all. They are focused on what God wants to do for you. That God loves everyone. All you got to do is open up your heart and let Him come in, because He's knocking. Some that want to take the focus off Christ altogether and just put the focus on the Holy Spirit and running around and going crazy. All of those things take the focus off the blood. And you know what? That's like when you travel down the interstate and you're going somewhere and you got a city between there and where you're going. You don't really like to drive through the city, do you? You like to take that bypass. But you know, when you take that bypass, you've never seen Fort Worth, Texas. You got to go through the city to see the city. You might see a postage stamp view, postcard view, whatever you call it. Christianity is the same way, folks. You can't bypass it. If you bypass the blood, you've bypassed it all. You've got to come through the blood. It alone gives us the forgiveness of sins. And my hope and prayer today is that you come through the blood. My hope and prayer is that you know Him as Jesus Christ, your Savior. Brother Randy, if you'll come and lead us in song, and also if you'll come and play for us. And we do want to use this time as a time of invitation. If the Lord has spoken to you in any way, we invite you to come.